Our scripture reading from the New Testament, Luke chapter 24, from the 13th verse. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. And then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Here ends our scripture reading. May God's intention with us today become very clear as we listen and as we celebrate a living Christ in our midst. My friends, Sidney Carter is the name of a well-known British poet and songwriter. And one song that he wrote, called "Lord of the Dance," became possibly the most celebrated religious song of the previous century. From the moment that he wrote it in 1963, the number's success spread throughout the English-speaking world and became a firm favorite of church congregations, folk camps, and school assemblies. And it also provided the theme for Michael Flatley's highly popular show of the same name, and still today is frequently used at marriages, baptisms, even funerals. Carter wrote the following about this song. He said, "I see Christ as the incarnation of the piper who is calling us. He dances that shape and pattern which is at the heart of our reality." Then he continues, "By Christ I mean not only Jesus. In other times and places, other planets, there may be other lords of the dance. But Jesus is the one I know of first and best. I sing of the dancing pattern in the life and words of Jesus." And here are the words of the song that he wrote. "I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I think the shortest possible summary of today's gospel reading would simply be this. Two early Christians were walking together. They were despondent and without any hope. Bad things had happened in Jerusalem, and bad things had happened in their life. And now there was nothing else to do. They were returning home. And as far as they were concerned, Jesus was dead and now buried. And as you can understand, they felt hopeless and alone. They had nothing to look forward to. The future was bleak indeed. The Bible says that while they were talking about the sad events of Good Friday in Jerusalem, they also discussed Scripture. And Scripture in those days would be the Hebrew Testament, we call it the Old Testament, where there's lots of talk about a coming Messiah. And they were wondering, and they had their hopes, and they had different opinions, as all of us have, about what was happening in those days. The Bible says that then a stranger joined their walk and explained Scripture to them. Now in our times, any stranger that would dare to join our walk would be in trouble, because we don't do that anymore. And we walk alone, and we are always suspicious when people come up to us. But it's because we have all the modern conveniences. We have motor cars. We have got ways to get there. And when we move from one place or another, we normally ignore people that we do not know. Not in those days. They were all walking the path, and there were literally hundreds of people every day on the road. Some were walking towards Jerusalem, some were walking towards Emmaus. So we can understand, as you walk, and very few of them had beasts to ride on, long before our modern vehicles. So what do you do? Oh, there's an interesting person. Come and walk with us. Let's talk a bit. Who are you? Where are you from? The usual. And so they invited the stranger, and he spoke with them. And finally, when they were ready to take a break, to have their evening meal, they asked the stranger, we want to share with you. Would you eat with us this evening? And it's so amazing, the language of Scripture. Not lost in translation yet. They were breaking bread, says the Bible. Exactly as Jesus had instructed them to do in remembrance of him after he was gone. And then, says the Bible, they recognized him, the stranger, in the breaking of the bread. And while they were breaking bread, do you see the symbolism? As Jesus taught them, the puzzle fell into place for them. The stranger disappeared, but they got the message of the bread, and they remembered. And then the Bible says they continue their journey. That's all. But listen again. What did really happen there? No, they did not continue their journey to Emmaus. This time, they turned around and they went back to Jerusalem. So the place where they had their dinner, really became the turning point, and they went back to Jerusalem. First of all, their direction was away from Jerusalem, and they had reason to get out of Jerusalem. But the discovery, the inner conviction, the certainty that Jesus was alive made the difference for them. They felt their hearts burning, and something happened. Their hope and their joy returned. And once again, they changed direction. Now they were going back to Jerusalem, back to the tasks that they were fleeing from, back to the tasks waiting for them. How can we describe this? For them, the funeral of Jesus became a celebration of joy. The defeated and downhearted followers would soon become unstoppable apostles, and they would never doubt Jesus again. And like us, they could no longer see Jesus with their own eyes, but deep inside they knew and believed that they would never return to Emmaus. And now we're beginning to understand Emmaus. Emmaus, the place of lost hope, maybe. Emmaus, the place of getting away from it all to forget. In a very real sense, that journey is still taking place in our times. Between Jerusalem and Emmaus, day after day. Actually, even now, this moment, we all are on the way between Emmaus and Jerusalem. And the only difference is, some of us have turned our backs on Jerusalem, and others have turned our backs on Emmaus. And their direction is determined by their understanding of who Jesus is. Some are moving away from Jerusalem with sad and somber thoughts. Oh, they remember the days when Jesus was and in their midst. They had high hopes and they shouted Hosanna and everything was fine. But now the curtain had fallen. Now things are different. Now they had no further interest in Jerusalem. Isn't it true of so many of us? Many people remember the days when life was easier, when we were still with our parents and friends and carefree days, more carefree than now. The time when Jesus was sort of part of everything. The church was central in our little town. And in a certain way, our lives evolved around the familiar stories of Jesus Christ. But then somehow, our journey took us away from those carefree days. Took us out into the world, further and further away, until finally all the hope and all the joy from our younger life underwent a change. We matured, we grew up. And sadly, if you look at the statistics, many, many people do not continue the faith of the fathers in their later lives. They go their own way and they live their own way. And for them, Jesus becomes a childhood memory, past tense. Faith and hope are things of the past. But there's also other side to the story. Others have their backs turned to Emmaus, the place of despondency, the place which signified for them the end of all their dreams and ideals in the absence of Jesus Christ. They made a discovery along the Emmaus way. And there they discovered anew, He lives, Christ Jesus is alive today. And there on the Emmaus road, the turnaround happened. And they went back to the place that they deserted before. The place where they were needed. The place where their witness would make the difference. The place where Jesus had left them with a command to go out in the world and to bring the good news, the gospel, to those who are still in darkness. Two people on the road to Emmaus. I think it's clear now. Sidney Carter tried to explain it to us with the Lord of the Dance. The Bible explains it to us with the Emmaus story. The question is simply, where are we heading? Where are you heading today? What place does Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ have in your life and in my life today? Are we facing a darkness and uncertainty and illness and approaching death? Are we facing it with despondency? Or is there a light burning that will burn till our dying day? Have we discovered the inspiration to turn around and to face Jerusalem waiting for us and to go back? And I believe they went back no matter what happened since that day in their lives. They would never be the same again. My friend, in a very practical way, what difference does your relationship with God through Jesus Christ make for you this very day? Are you, in spite of all that, still on the way to Emmaus? May I invite you, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, to turn around, to understand the message of the Savior, to recognize Him in the breaking of the bread, and then to stand up and to move on into the future and to move in the direction that God wants you and me to go. Know the gospel of Jesus Christ, including all the cruelty of Calvary, all the pain of Gethsemane. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not one of sadness. It is not bad news. It is a good news gospel. It is not solemn. It is sensational. It's not a burden. It's a bonanza. New life is offered again and again to you and to me. The Christian faith was never intended to bring sorrow or sadness. The Christian faith is not intended to be for people disappearing into the darkness of Emmaus. It is intended to let us see beyond the horizon. It is intended to pick us up and carry us through. So dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said He. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said He. Amen.